This evening, once again, we are looking at Lord's Day 39, question answer 104, the fifth commandment. You can find that on page 891. Page 891 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. I'll read this question and we can all respond together with the answer. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings. For by their hand, God wills to rule us. Tonight we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. So I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in our passage this evening here, Ephesians 6, Paul mentions that the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, is the first commandment with a promise. Now, what does that mean exactly? What is the promise of the fifth commandment about? What does it mean for us today? Now, time after time, we've heard this commandment read. Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 5, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now we've heard this command. We've heard the promise connected to the command time after time. But have you ever stopped to think about what the promise of this commandment, the fifth commandment, actually means? Ephesians 6, Paul is describing it as the first commandment with a promise. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. There's the command. And then he mentioned this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So what is the promise here? The promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. But what does that mean? Living long? What land are we talking about here? How is that a motivation for children to obey and honor their parents? We can probably imagine how this conversation would play out with a parent instructing their child. Mom says, you need to listen and do what I tell you. And Junior says, well, why? And mom replies so that it will go well with you and you will live long in the land the Lord your God has promised you. And we can just imagine the response of what? So in order to understand what this promise means for us today, we need to first understand what it meant for the people of Israel in the past. And then we can unpack what it means for us today as Christians and the hope that it holds out for us in the future. The Lord promises that it will go well with the children who honor their father and their mother, and they will enjoy a long life on the earth. And in Christ, what we see is that we have been given the blessings of this promise. The life, the land. And now it's in light of this eternal life and promised land that's ours in Christ that we honor our father and our mother. The promise of life and land, how it's fulfilled in Christ and what that means for us today. Tonight we'll be looking at, first of all, the promise, the past promise already enjoyed. Secondly, the present promise experienced right now. And third and finally, the future promise not yet fulfilled. And so first, the past promise enjoyed already. In its original context, the promise is given to obedient children. It refers to a good and a long life in the promised land. This is the promised land that God was giving to the people of Israel as they're coming out of Egypt. In Psalm 106, we kind of heard that story a little bit and what took place there. So this promise is given specifically to the people of Israel. As they're coming out of Egypt, they're given the Ten Commandments. You have just been saved from Egypt. You've just been delivered. This is how you live as my saved and delivered people. Honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So here you have the people in the wilderness on their way to the promised land hearing this command, and connected to that command, honor your father and mother, is that promise that, okay, live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. R.C. Sproul explains it like this: the rendering of obedience to one's parents is not simply a social convention, but it is a duty that is to be rendered to God. So boys and girls, what we're keeping in mind here is that when we're obeying mom and dad, we're ultimately obeying God. So important did God deem this particular duty of mankind that he included it in the Ten Commandments, the foundation of the law for his nation Israel. The respect that children are to give their parents is essential for a well-ordered society, for the stability of the home, and also for the development of discipline and character in children. And so you have that command. This is what you need to do. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. And then we're given the reason why. Why we should obey this command. The motivation, the promise, so that you will live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And in the wilderness, as the people are making their way to the promised land, that's the promise that's connected with this command. The land that is being referred to is the promised land. If they would have obeyed, they would have enjoyed a long life enjoying God's benefits in that promised land. Those are the three parts of this promise: that you're going to live long, that it will go well with you in the promised land, in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now this phrase, that it may go well with you, is repeatedly found throughout Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, verse 40, for example: therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Deuteronomy 12, verse 25, you shall not eat of it, that all may go well with you and with your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. And so here we have a very fundamental connection between obeying the Lord's commandments and it going well with you. Living a long life, going well with you, living long in the land. It underscores the blessing that will come on the people of God if they obey and they keep His commandments. So that set us up. We're in the wilderness on our way to the promised land. Here's the commandments. Here's the promise if you obey these commandments. So how did it work out for Israel? Well, their first attempt at entering the promised land failed. So they were sent back, wandered around in the wilderness for another 40 years until all the disobedient generation died off. And then they tried it again. They did not receive the promise of living long in the land the Lord your God had given you because they didn't keep the Lord's commandments. And then finally, they make it into the promised land. And even while they're in the promised land, they make it in, they're living in the promised land, even at that moment, there are still exceptions to this promise, you could say. Not every single person lived long. It didn't go well for every single person in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Not everyone in Israel who honored their father and mother always lived long and always had a good life in the land. One example is Abijah. This is the sick son of King Jeroboam. He died when he was young, even though he was the only one in Jeroboam's family in whom any good was found, Scripture tells us. So not a long life in the promised land. It didn't seem to go well with him. And even at that, their time in the promised land eventually came to an end. It was short-lived. One of the most important questions we can ask or we can think about when it comes to Israel enjoying the promises of the fifth commandment, living long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, is why didn't they live long in the land the Lord their God was giving them? Why were they kicked out of the land? Why did the exile take place? And it was because of their disobedience. They were exiled, they were kicked out of the land and carried off into Babylon or scattered by the Assyrians because they were disobeying God. They weren't keeping His commandments. The prophets declared, Jeroboam will die by the sword and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. And so because of their disobedience to God, they were sent into exile, not realizing the fullness of this promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. And so our first point this evening, this past promise enjoyed, should probably be changed or adjusted a little bit to this past promise not fully enjoyed. It was cut short because of disobedience. Instead of enjoying this promise to the fullness, it's actually the opposite. Because of their disobedience, they didn't have a long, good life in the land, but just the opposite. They were kicked out of the land. But what does this promise mean for us today then? What does this promise of life and land mean for us? If we honor our father and mother, will we live long and it'll go well for us in the promised land? How do we apply this to our lives today? Well, John Calvin explains this in terms of the promise of God's blessings. In our present life, our life right now is just one example of the many blessings that God pours out onto us. Calvin says, this promise similarly has reference to us insofar as length of life is an example of God's benevolence towards us. So God's kindness to us. It wouldn't be benevolent, it wouldn't be kind if we were suffering and then we were given a long life. That's Calvin's main point, that we are promised a long life insofar as it is a blessing of God. Because a long life isn't always a blessing. And that it is a blessing only insofar as it is evidence of God's favor, which he testifies to his servants far more richly and substantially through death. So here already we have Calvin hinting that there's more going on here than just a physical piece of real estate in the Middle East and our temporal lives here and now. That promised land pointed to something more, and our lives here and now are pointing to something more. And so this promise that it will go well with you and that you will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, this promise points to something more and even greater. And that's what brings us to our second point this evening, the present promise experienced right now. Something very helpful for us to keep in mind as we think about this promise and what it means for us is that when Paul, in our passage here in Ephesians chapter 6, restates the fifth commandment to his Christian readers, he leaves out the specific reference to the promised land. He states the first part, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. But instead of saying, in the land the Lord your God is giving you, he just says, land. And in some of the other translations, they translate as that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, all of a sudden, instead of referring to a specific piece of property in Palestine, the promised land, this promise has now been expanded to include the entire earth. The promise for us is talking about, yes, on the one hand, on the surface level, the present earthly life. Just as Old Testament children who honored and obeyed their parents were blessed with a promise of a full life, so too in the age of the New Covenant, of the New Testament, this general principle holds true for obedient Christian children as well. For the Christian son or daughter, the promise attached to this commandment is no longer limited geographically. Obedient sons and daughters are assured that it will go well with them and that they will enjoy long life on the earth. Now, very practically speaking, there is a direct connection between following your parents' instructions and life. What do I mean? Well, kids who listen to mom and dad when they tell them to look both ways before they cross the street are going to live longer than the kids who don't. The one who obeys when mom says don't stick that nail into the electrical outlet is better off in life than the child who disobeys and sticks the nail into the electrical outlet. Children who listen to mom and dad when they tell them to stay away from the fire pit or don't touch those poisonous chemicals live longer and better than those who don't listen to mom and dad and are burned or poisoned. But let's follow these very practical examples a little bit further. Now you're a teenager. Hopefully by this point you're not as tempted to stick a nail in an electrical outlet or drink poison or walk into oncoming traffic. But now your parents are teaching you about who you should hang out with, how bad company corrupts good character, 1 Corinthians 15. Your friends have a direct impact on your life, good or bad. And so remember this promise, honor your father and mother. Why? That it may go well with you. It's not so much looking both ways before you cross the street, but it's just as much a matter of life and death. Those who listen to the godly wisdom of parents will live better and longer than those who don't. Listen to what Proverbs tells us. Proverbs 1 verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. In Deuteronomy, disobeying mom and dad was a life and death situation because it had a death sentence connected to it. You disobey, you talk back, you get stoned. Plain and simple. It's not a phase you go through, or boys will be boys, they'll grow out of it. According to the law in Deuteronomy, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, "The son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate," which is reckless and immoral, "and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. Honoring your father and mother in that situation is a life or death situation. Whether it's the town inflicting the death penalty because of your disobedience or you not receiving the promise because of your disobedience, your life suffers the consequence. Now think about that in light of what we talked about this morning in Job. Here we have a direct connection between the obedience that you render and the quality of your life. You obey, your life is good. But wait a second, in Job, when we talked about you reap what you sow, we were confronted with the lack of grace that Eliphaz had. So what's going on here? What's going on in this passage? Grace is getting the opposite of you, of what you deserve. And that's how this promise of life and this land is ours, even though we don't deserve it. And that's what we'll see in our third and final point in just a moment. But back to our teenagers. What have your parents told you? What have they taught you? What have they instructed you about the character of the person that you're dating, or sex within marriage, or experimenting with drugs, or your work ethic, or your attitude? Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and that it may go well with you. Now that's teenagers and their relationship with their parents, but we can take another step further. What does it look like when it comes to moving out of the house and choosing a spouse, or even getting to the point of having kids? How does that relationship between parents and children change now that it's an adult relationship? When we leave the home and establish a place of our own, we can still honor our parents by asking their advice, considering their advice. We move away from the having to obey mom and dad while they're under their roof and the curfews, but the honoring mom and dad because we value their wisdom is still in effect. Honor your father and mother. Think about parents giving their blessing before marriage. Got a whole row of college students back there, so this is applicable. Here we have Kevin DeYoung explaining that the men in my generation, more than my parents, seem eager to ask for explicit permission from their future father-in-law before popping this question or popping the question. Now we may think, oh, that's just an old tradition, but what does it show? It shows that you respect the father's authority. Now, this is not a biblical command, thou shalt go and have that awkward conversation with her father, but it does show respect. By honoring your parents, that is commanded. And so, asking for the parents' blessing and listening to what they have to say, if they have concerns, listening to that, making sure you have patience, even if it means putting things on hold for just a while. When we have children of our own, we begin to realize the greatness of a parent's love for their children, and we also realize how limited our own love for our parents was. And here we're honoring our father and mother by loving them. We're honoring our father and mother, as Lord's Day 39 tells us, with proper obedience, good teaching and discipline, by being patient with their failings, or by their hand, God wills to rule us. Honoring our father and mother. What does this commandment look like when we get to the point of being the caregivers to our parents, our father and our mother? when you get to the point in life when you are the one taking care of them. We honor our father and our mother by being loyal to them. And this comes into practice when they're getting older. They may need help. They may need encouragement. They may need support. They're going to be lonely and they need visits. In the culture that we live in, our culture worships youth. And what that means is that the older generation is disrespected. Instead of thinking, this person is older and therefore probably has more experience than I do and something to teach me that I don't know yet, our culture thinks, this person is old and out of date and funny looking and weak and is best ignored. And that's not biblical. Proverbs tells us that gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. You have the wisps of wisdom. Proverbs 23 verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. Part of being loyal and faithful to our parents comes into play when we are patient with their weakness. It's part of showing honor to our father and our mother. Now as we think about what this means for us, how the fifth commandment and this promise applies to our lives presently, here are some questions for us to consider. Do we take care of our aging parents without grumbling or complaining? Do we ever consider their feelings and desires above our own? And probably the most pointed question, would we be happy if our young children treated us like we're treating our parents? We're being called to honor our father and our mother, which Paul describes as the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you'll enjoy a long life in the land. We've looked at the past promise. We looked at the present promise. But what does this promise mean for the future? Third and finally, the future promise not yet fulfilled. The future promise. Israel, God's people, was not able to enjoy the full blessings of this promise because of their disobedience. Because they did not honor their father and mother, they were kicked out of the land, they didn't enjoy these promises, and the same can be said of us today. It's not like we've perfectly obeyed these commandments, even when it comes to the fifth commandment. So if this promise is dependent on our obedience, you reap what you sow style, then there's not a whole lot of us looking forward to enjoying this long life and that it will go well with you in the land. Because each and every one of us have broken the fifth commandment at some point. The Spirit of God uses God's law to confront us in our sin and to correct us. But the good news for us this evening is that God the Father sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who honored His Father perfectly. And He did this in our place. He perfectly obeyed, He perfectly kept the fifth commandment, perfectly obeyed and honored, and gave the reward, the promise of it going well and living long in the land. He gave that promise to us. The promise that He earned through His obedience to the fifth commandment, He gave to us. As if I had never sinned nor been a sinner. As if I had never broken the fifth commandment and had been as completely obedient as Christ was for me. Now the life and the land is not a geographical location in Palestine. But it's the eternal life that is ours in Christ. It's what the promised land pointed to. The new heavens and the new earth. That is ours because of Christ and His obedience. In this way, the promise of the fifth commandment isn't just for the here and the now, but it looks forward to something even greater in Jesus Christ. And that's how this promise, when we hear it, when we're looking at the Ten Commandments and we hear this promise, that's how this promise is still true for us today. Because this promise has become deeper and broader in reach through the work of Jesus Christ. It's referring to our life right now, and in an even greater way, our eternal life to come. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so this promise is still that anyone who honors his or her parents and in doing so accept God's commands through mom and dad will receive the benefits from doing so in this life here and now and in our eternal life to come. So then as we conclude this evening, what is this promise of the fifth commandment referring to? Well, it's the promise of life. Yes, for us today. Not just a long life on earth, but eternal life. Our short life here on earth looks forward to the promise of eternal life in heaven and in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's the promise of land. It's not just a few acres in Palestine, but the new heavens and the new earth. The promised land of God's people foreshadows the promised land of heaven. And it's not because of our obedience that we enjoy this promise and these rewards, but rather because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have been given the blessings of this promise. And now it's in light of the eternal life that is ours and the promised land that is ours in Christ that we honor our father and our mother, that we honor all those in authority over us, and ultimately honor and obey our heavenly Father. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, it is our prayer that we will honor not only you, but all those in authority over us and our fathers and mothers, knowing that connected with this call, this command, comes the promise that it will go well with you and that you will live long in the land. Lord, we thank you for this promise and the fullness of it that is ours in Jesus Christ. The eternal life that is ours in Christ because of his obedience. And the land, the new heavens and the new earth that is ours because of Christ's obedience. And now we ask that in light of all that has been done for us in Christ, we will live lives of thankfulness and obedience to the fifth commandment. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.